Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, Trayvon Diggs is going to join us, senior defensive back for Alabama. It's a Tide defense that's very proud. It's become a place where guys play in the defensive backfield and go on to great NFL careers, get drafted very high. Trayvon is also the younger brother of Vikings wide receiver Stephon Diggs. We'll talk to him, one of the senior leaders of the Bama defense, coming up here in approximately 40 minutes from now. Also this hour, one of the craziest baseball outcomes in history. Truly. If you had money on the Astros yesterday, you ended up getting kicked in the gut. We'll discuss coming up in about 15 minutes from now. The big news of the day is Antonio Brown refusing to play unless he has his nightlight, his blanket, and his helmet. AB says that he's not going to play. He could step away from football unless they allow him to play with his favorite helmet. The NFL is saying it has been phased out. It's no longer safe. It doesn't abide by the safety regulations in the new NFL. And so he had his 10 years, and now it's more than 10 years old. He cannot wear it legally on the field. Apparently, Antonio Brown is so enamored with this helmet, he brought his old helmet from the Steelers and had it painted in Raiders colors, as though that was going to work. If DeAndre Hopkins or Julio Jones came to the NFL and said, look, this is my livelihood. This is my career. I can't see with this. We need to work on this. I could give it some leniency because those guys are professional. Those guys are mature. Those guys are the best at their craft, and those guys don't consistently create chaos. But for as great as Antonio Brown is on the field, and he's great, he has a master's degree in creating nonsense, in being a diva, in being difficult, in being in his own little world to the detriment of others. So what are you going to do here? You're going to defend Antonio Brown? I mean, John Gruden's doing this, supporting AB, because you can't already pick a fight with AB. It's August 12th. Antonio Brown has competed in 1 half-hour practice. One. He's practiced for the Raiders for 30 minutes and arrived to that practice in a hot air balloon. If John Gruden doesn't support AB here, he's already creating a giant division, a chasm between him and his highest paid player before that guy's ever been on the field.
But I don't believe that John Gruden's totally in support of Antonio Brown. I think he has to say this right now in his mind. I think when you have AB at this stage in his career, it is always eggshells. Everything is constant eggshells. And if you pick a fight with him, or he doesn't feel loved, or he doesn't feel respected, or you're not in his corner in his mind, he's totally going to take a dive and demand to go elsewhere. Here's the problem with the Raiders. It doesn't logically have made any sense to bring Antonio Brown in. And this was obvious the moment that they did it. They had Khalil Mack on that roster. The second best defensive player in football behind Aaron Donald. And they said, we just can't afford this. We just can't afford this. And we need draft picks anyway. And we're not ready to win right now. So let's trade away Khalil Mack. Let's get some picks. Let's not have to deal with paying him. Okay, you want to strip it down? They said the same thing about Amari Cooper. You know what? We're not ready to spend that type of money on a wide receiver. We want draft picks. We'll trade him. We'll get draft picks back. We won't have to pay him. All right, fine. And then they turned around and traded draft picks for a player they then had to pay top dollar for. It went completely against the grain of their previous two major decisions. So which one is it? And in doing so, you brought in a guy that is way more of a distraction than Amari Cooper or Khalil Mack. Mack and Cooper never created this type of stuff. If AB wasn't renowned for knuckleheaded nature or completely self-absorbed behavior, I could give him more of a pass. But how do you do that after all of the craziness that he brings to the table already? This is such a bad look for the Arizona Cardinals. It's such a bad look. And I just hope that the Arizona Cardinals take this as seriously as they would if a player did it. Because Ron Miniger, who is their executive vice president and chief operating officer, COO is a really high title. COO, essentially, of a billion-dollar corporation, was arrested on Saturday night for a DUI.
She's a bad girl, David.
This was a bad boy. Miniger was stopped around 11:30 p.m. for speeding, failure to drive within one lane of traffic, and driving within the bicycle lane.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Miniger was then arrested on suspicion of DUI. Now, they are not saying, well, let's let this play out in court. Let's see what happens here. Miniger insists that he wasn't drunk, what have you. No, the Cardinals put out a statement and said, this is inexcusable. He made the decision to drive after drinking alcohol. Fortunately, he didn't hurt anyone. Okay, this is all good. According to MAD, Mothers Against drunk driving results in almost 11,000 deaths per year. Number one cause of fatalities on roadways. This is all good. This is all good information. Good statement from the Cardinals. We fully recognize the seriousness of these actions. They will have serious consequences. Okay, great. Cardinals didn't hide behind the legal system. We're not saying anything or defending their guy. They said this is inexcusable. Great. And by the way, the Cardinals have had a series of bad things happen like this. Remember last year? 1 year ago, their GM got popped for DUI. Steve Keim was arrested and pled guilty to extreme DUI. He was suspended for more than a month by the team and fined $200,000. And President Michael Bidwell, the owner, said, can't happen. Okay. So that was the 4th of July weekend last year. One of their highest ranking officials gets nabbed doing the same exact thing 13 months later. Well, you better give Miniger now 5-week suspension and you better fine him $200,000 minimum. But I would say go farther because look at what they've done to players. Just this week, one of their starting defensive ends was arrested on assault with a deadly weapon because this Mensa candidate was at a strip club in May and allegedly threatened to shoot a dancer if she didn't come home with him. That's the perfect sweet talk that women love. Perfect. Go to a strip club. You fall in love with Destiny. She's got glitter all over. She smells a cheap perfume and spilled drinks. And you go, you got to come home with me, honey. And she goes, well, I'm still working, so I can't go home. Or she goes, I'm not really that interested. Or I'm not that kind of girl, even though she's a stripper. And you say, I will threaten to shoot you if you don't. Well, those are the seeds of a wonderful night and a budding romance. So this dude gets arrested, released on bail, and immediately cut by the Cardinals. They had just signed him to a two-year, $10 million deal. Robert Kimdiche, arrested twice within a week for speeding and driving on a suspended license. Kimdiche, released. In June, an arrest warrant issued for their offensive lineman, Desmond Harrison. Domestic violence assault charges. Guess what happened? Cut by the Cardinals. So the Cardinals have decided all this illegal activity, bad, 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 bad. Okay. First part is, why does it keep happening? You're taking chances perhaps on guys with questionable backgrounds. You're also employing front office members that are making bad decisions. So do you have a culture problem here? Maybe the players feel like they can get away with more because their GM who drafted them or brought them in just got nailed on extreme DUI a year ago. But more than that, if you're going to cut every player that runs afoul with the law, what are you going to do with an employee, a team employee? Because what you should do is cut him as well. What you should do is say, can't have it. That's not the way this organization runs. You embarrassed us. That was an awful decision. You could have hurt somebody. Imagine you collided with a member of the community. Imagine you hurt or killed somebody in our city, of our fan base. You got to go. But are they going to do that? Or are they going to make examples out of the players, but not out of the executives? If the Cardinals were equal and even-handed, Miniger, this dope at COO, chief executive officer, chief operating officer, rather, would get cut the same way the rest of the guys got cut. I'll tell you this. If you cut a guy that was making $10 million over 2 years, Miniger ain't making that. You've got far more of a financial investment in your defensive end that you cut. The COO is not making $10 million over 2 years. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Twitter, DA on CBS. What if I told you yesterday was a 30 for 30? What if I told you one of the greatest upsets in baseball history happened yesterday in front of about 400 fans in Baltimore? We will play for you the historic end to the Astros and Orioles game and tell you just how historic and remarkable it was next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm all about DA. Very smart, very talented. Love the kid's process, works it hard, cares about the show, grinds. About the right stuff, man. And he's a good dude.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, that's coming from a Hall of Famer, by the way. Jim Rome is in the Radio Hall of Fame. Congrats to Jim. Well deserved. He is the GOAT, the greatest ever to do this. Sports Talk Radio royalty. And now he's a Hall of Famer. And he follows us right here on CBS Sports Radio. Doing More brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything that you need to do, Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Anthony Rendon. The Nats third baseman, 4-for-5 yesterday, scoring 2 runs in Washington's 7-4 victory over the Mets. The Nats win snaps New York's 8-game win streak and prevented the sweep, so it keeps the Nats a half game up on the Cardinals for the top wild card spot and a full game up on the Brewers for the final wild card spot. I'm only going to read this because Mraz wrote it. The now slumping Mets fell to a game and a half behind the Nats for a postseason spot. They had won 15 of 16 games, lost yesterday, and Mraz has termed them the now slumping Mets.
A loss is a loss. Are they hot? They are not.
How do you possibly sit next to him, Pete the Body Bellotti, and not punch him in the ear?
I just go back to his school and spelling techniques, and that helps me.
Helps you sleep at night?
Helps me sleep at night, yeah.
College football season is just around the corner, and tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network's team of experts as they tackle the hottest topics of the gridiron. It's Inside College Football, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
So, I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that history happened yesterday in Baltimore and nobody was there to watch it. I mean, there was nobody in that ballpark. It was Astros and Orioles. The Orioles season's obviously totally over. And what happened yesterday was incredible, remarkable, historic. They had lost on Saturday by giving up 23 runs. The Orioles had lost to the Astros. The Astros had put up 23 runs. Okay, the Orioles are bad. I mean, really, 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 really bad. And the Astros are obviously really, 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 really good. So over the weekend, everybody just simply expected the Orioles to roll over and get pistol-whipped by this Astros team. They had given up on Saturday 25 hits and 23 runs. It was 23-2. 23-2 on Saturday. So with 78 losses in counting, and the Astros with 77 wins in counting, it seemed like the Orioles were primed to get pounded again yesterday on a Sunday. And in some books, the Orioles were listed as high as a +420 underdog. Now, during baseball season, that's a remarkably high number because obviously anything can happen at a baseball game. You know, there's 162 of these, so it's not like a massive upset can happen on any given day in baseball the same way you would weight it in football. The last time a team was this big of an underdog in Vegas was more than a decade ago. In 07, the Twins were +390 against the Nationals. Okay? Last year, the Marlins were +320 against the Dodgers. The Dodgers were starting Clayton Kershaw. So what you had here was coming off getting absolutely destroyed on Saturday, an awful Orioles team, a really good Astros team, and Justin Verlander on the hill. The number was so high in Vegas that nobody bet the Astros. Everyone's like, well, this is just so high. They're such a massive underdog. It's not even worth betting on the Astros. They're such a massive favorite, rather. And so anybody that bet on this game, 97% of the money was on the underdog Orioles. Because they said, well, why not throw a couple of bucks? Or if you're going to bet on the Orioles, because this is a historic underdog. So you're talking about all time. There are few teams that have ever been as big of an underdog as the Orioles were. And it looked like it would end up, as everybody expected, with an Astros win. Here was the go-ahead hit by Michael Brantley for the Astros.
1-2. That is line just fair down the right field line, and that's headed for the corner. Around third, Springer. He will score. Altuve racing for third. Gary Pettis is going to send him. Altuve will score as well. And around third now comes Brantley. As the relay is dropped, Brantley scores. Three runs come in for the Astros, and they take the lead.
All right, so that's Robert Ford, Houston Astros radio on the call. So they took the lead top of the ninth. Three runs, top nine, and that gives them the lead 7-5. The Astros will end up winning this game, needing a little bit of late magic, but they're going to end up winning this game going into the bottom of the ninth. Well, we go to the bottom of the ninth, and you'd think that the Orioles would just simply go quietly into the afternoon sun with nobody watching, right? And instead, bottom nine, they lead off with a double. Okay. They got a runner on second base. No out. You have a fielder's choice ground out, which moves the runner over to third. All right. So you got a runner on third, one out, but you're down two. And then you have a hit by pitch. All right. So now you got two runners on first and third. Again, you're down two runs. Bottom nine, one away with the Crash Davis, who went after his manager last week because his manager basically told him in the middle of the game, you really stink. Crash Davis is hitting 180-something for the season.
The 1-0, swinging a fly ball, hit to left field. Reddick comes on, and he makes the catch. Peterson tags. He will head for the plate. Here's the throw from Reddick. It is just not in time. And Peterson scores a meaningless run. It makes it 7-6.
A meaningless run. That's Orioles radio saying it's a meaningless run to pull to within one run with two away. Meaningless. This is the Orioles radio network saying that run doesn't matter. The Orioles are going to lose.
Meaningless run. It makes it 7-6.
Now, probably no reason to test the sack fly there because you need multiple runs to tie this thing up. So staying on third base is probably the smart play there instead of worrying about getting tagged to the plate. But the meaningless run comes home. And now there's two away. And still the runner that got hit by the pitch is on base. So two away, runner on, down a run. And here is the legendary Rio Ruiz at the plate.
The 2-2. Swinging a high fly ball. Deep right field. This is going to go. Rio Ruiz hits a walk-off home run out of the flag court. And the Orioles win 8-7.
Orioles radio on the call. That is the great Rio Ruiz winning the game, hitting a home run over towards the brick warehouse, and the Orioles walk off the Astros. Somewhere Gary Thorne laughs and crushes a clam roll. Incredible. Just incredible. And how many people do you think were still there in the ballpark to watch that, to witness that? I mean,
eight?
I was going to say maybe 1,200, 1,400. It looked like well less than 2,000 people were in that ballpark by that point.
I'm not trying to be a jerk because I don't blame Oriole fans. The walk-off background sound sounded like less people than a Jacob Wilkins call at a Rumble Ponies game.
They definitely can all go home in one car.
There's nobody still there yesterday. Why would you? Why would you still be there? I mean, the Orioles are obviously terrible. And by the time, you know, Verlander gets the hook and you're down by two going into the bottom of the ninth, you're leaving to beat that traffic. No question about it. It just goes to show you, you can't stop the plucky fight that is the 2019 Baltimore Orioles. They're just a never-say-die outfit. That's a team that is, you can't kill them.
And still somehow not the worst team in the American League, by the way.
How is it possible that the Baltimore Orioles have 78 losses already on the season? We're only midway through August. They're on pace for, what, 110 losses or something like that? And they're not the worst team, even in the American League. Tigers are even worse.
Detroit Tigers. By the way, what does that say about the Tigers? Are they just losing close games? Because they haven't been a punching bag, but the Orioles have all year.
Yeah, I think it's because the Orioles, we knew coming into the season, were going to be absolute dreck, and they've lived up to that or lived down to that. And I don't think that everybody knew that the Tigers were going to be this bad. So it's like, oh, the Orioles were just as bad or worse as we expected.
Yeah, and I don't think you're getting Tigers players brawling with their manager in the dugout or losing 23-2. So, you know, if you're going to stink, at least fly under the radar while you stink.
In many ways, though, that was an important win for the Orioles because it keeps them within 37.5 games of the Yankees for the division.
What's their magic number?
Magic number, let's see. It's August 12th. Well, let's really do this, some of the numbers here. They're 39-78. That means they've played 117 games. So that means 117, 5, carry the 1. They've got 45 games left. They're 37.5 out. So their magic number for getting eliminated is 8.
So, August 12th.
So it's August 12th now. So let's see. By August 20th, the Orioles could be officially eliminated. But walking off the Astros last night, it's a big deal.
Kept them alive. It's all you can ask for in August is to play meaningful baseball.
Wow.
That is gone off the foul pole.
Now, wait a minute.
When we come back here on the DA show, Trayvon Diggs is going to join us. Senior defensive back for the Alabama Crimson Tide, as the Tide and a defense try to rebound after what happened at the national championship game. They're still thinking about it. We'll talk to Diggs coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
First of all, I just want to tell you how much I love you. Joe, it's a huge part of my day. You guys are awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the DA show here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us. DA with you. There's so many different ways you can listen to the show. Of course, you can check us out using SiriusXM Channel 206 if you're outside your normal CBS Sports Radio listening area. College football is just around the corner. In fact, it's really here. And so joining us here on the show is a senior member and a captain for one of the big-time college football national champion possibilities. That would be Alabama Crimson Tide defensive back Trayvon Diggs joining us this morning on the show. Trayvon, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How y'all doing? Doing good.
Doing great, buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming into this season, the way that you guys ended last season, so much conversation's been about the national championship game. Do you feel like it's too much to be made about that championship game and people should just move on when they ask you about this upcoming season?
In reality, I mean, you're not going to forget, you know, what happened. But I feel like people still forget and focus on this year and focus on what we have in store for this year. And, you know, how hard we're working this year to make things better and make sure, you know, we don't get ourselves in a situation like that again.
There's always championship aspirations in Tuscaloosa, so what specifically are you focusing on this year?
You know, bringing back our identity, you know, being able to run the ball very effectively, you know, stopping the run on defense, you know, getting off the field on third down, you know, getting back to the things that, you know, we're mainly known for.
Did you feel like you guys got away from those types of identifiers last year?
Yes, I feel like we did. I feel like, you know, we missed a couple, you know, small details, you know, and at the end of the day, the football game is a game of inches, and, you know, if you don't have those little details down, you know, things are not going to go your way.
What's the best way to make sure you and the rest of your defensive teammates focus on those details?
Practice, you know, doing everything right in practice, you know, focusing on the little details in practice, you know, not taking a shortcut way, doing things the right way and holding everyone accountable to doing their job.
Trayvon Diggs joins us, defensive back, Alabama Crimson Tide, one of the senior leaders on this team, and you have the ability to be able to tie yourself into the knowledge of your brother. Your older brother, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, has been in the NFL, so he's a little bit older than you. How much do you lean on him to ask him advice about what you're doing?
I lean on him a lot. I have to ask him stuff every day. It's always something new that I'm curious about. something new that I'm learning, so I'm always asking different questions and different things about the game that he knows and stuff that he's been through, so I always ask him anything.
If somebody asked you what the most important thing that you've been able to learn, whether it's small or whether it's large, what is the most important thing in your mind that you took away from your brother from advice?
You know, continue to work. You know, always continue to work, never let up, you know, because my brother, he was drafted in the fifth round, but at the end of that, we knew he wasn't no fifth round receiver, and I seen him grow from there and, you know, really take that and had a chip on his shoulder and really work hard and really stay focused, and it ended up working out from him getting his second contract. So I really learned a lot from that. Just staying focused and working hard will get you where you want to go.
Where were you watching the playoff game against the Saints when he caught the Minneapolis Miracle?
I was at the game.
You were at the game? How crazy was the crowd in that moment?
Yeah, it was real crazy. That was my first NFL game I ever been to, so I was actually kind of happy.
Yeah, you can't ever go back to another football game because nothing's ever going to compare to that.
Yeah, probably not even going to be able to get to another football game based on our schedule and stuff. But at that time, our schedule didn't conflict.
Yeah, Alabama defensive back Trayvon Diggs joining us this morning on the show. You chose Alabama over some other SEC powerhouses, Georgia, Auburn, LSU. Did you go to Alabama because of their recent legacy, their lineage of putting defensive backs into the NFL?
I went to Alabama because I feel like this was the best place that was going to get me to where I want to go and it's going to help me become a better man.
So was it not about then just football? It was about growing up as a man as well?
Yeah, that's mainly what it was. When I called Coach Saban, he really, really showed me, he told me this place isn't just for football. It's going to help you be a better person. It's going to help you grow up. And based on, you know, his legacy, I really believed him. And me being here, me coming here was the greatest decision I ever made because I'm trying to learn more and learn how to become a better person and better man. Other than football, outside of football. And then on top of that, I get the football aspect of it, learning all this knowledge and all these tools that I can use to take to put in my game.
So now that you're a senior, what have you learned about being an adult, being a man?
Responsibility and adversity. You're gonna face some adversity, and you have to overcome adversity. And that's probably one of the biggest things I've learned here. And, you know, and I feel like it helped me a lot.
This is a fun part of the summer because now football is straight ahead. Real games are about to be played. So you're getting those juices flowing in terms of looking at the schedule, focusing on your opponent, starting to really feel like you're in game mode?
Yeah, it's getting closer to the first game. But, you know, we focus on, you know, the details right now. We can't focus on, you know, the first game. We still got a lot of work to do and, you know, just being prepared.
Now that you guys have a rivalry with Clemson after a couple of national championship games, will you watch them and pay attention to them during the season, or will you focus mainly on the SEC opponents or just yourselves?
Oh, no, we're not going to focus on that game right now. We're just focused on one opponent at a time and, you know, taking it day by day, game by game.
Will you watch those other teams during the season, though?
I mean, on TV, I'll watch them. You know, I like to watch football a lot, but
right.
As far as from a team aspect, no, we're not going to study, you know, other teams that we're not playing that week.
One of the senior leaders of the Alabama Crimson Tide, once again looking for a national championship, Trayvon Diggs, joining us this morning on the show. Trayvon, great stuff, man. Thanks so much. Good luck this season. I appreciate you taking time for us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Trayvon Diggs and the Crimson Tide defense will start off against the Duke Blue Devils in week number one, New Mexico State in week number two. They'll get that first SEC game against South Carolina in week three. And if I'm looking at the Alabama schedule, you know, there's so many people that assume that A&M is going to take a step forward in Jimbo Fisher's second year. Well, this year, Bama goes to College Station. So perhaps an early test for the Tide. This is a year where they have to go to A&M and to Auburn, although they're home against LSU. Those are the three that you circle on this schedule as potential pitfalls, landmines. Everybody else in the schedule, they should be better than by a significant margin: Mississippi State, Arkansas, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and South Carolina. So for the SEC, which always feels like it's Alabama and everybody else, this is a question mark of a season in terms of at the top, where is Georgia just as good as Alabama on the east side? They won't play in the regular season, so we would only see them in the SEC championship game. And how much closer is LSU and A&M to Alabama in the west? That's the very top of the SEC, but until further notice, it's still the Tide as the best team in that conference. Although what Kirby Smart has done at Georgia is proven that not only are they recruiting at an Alabama-type level so that they have the athletes that Alabama also has, but that they're fearless in that conversation. They're fearless in that matchup. And Georgia proved that last year in the SEC title game. Kind of the bad luck of Tua getting injured, because without that, I don't think that Alabama comes back to win. They needed Jalen Hurts and that mobility. They got it, and they found a way to win. But Georgia is right there. And that's Kirby, who was a former assistant under Nick Saban, doing a lot of the things that Nick did and still does. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It is brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. Preseason is here. The Giants began their preseason, taking on the Jets the other night. They got a win. Question, Mraz, as a Giants fan, where did you watch it? Who did you watch it with? And did you get excited?
I was excited. I watched it at Bob's Bar, as you can imagine. Mixed blend of Jet and Giant fans on the block.
Your dad's bar in the backyard, you watched it.
Yes. My sisters each are dating two dopey Jets fans, so they were back there with their Darnold jerseys on. There was a crowd of about 10 to 12 of us. Okay. I will say, kickoff, there was a little weather delay. By the end of the game, I'm talking
a weather delay in the party at Bob's Bar or in the game?
In the game. Yeah. In the game. With about 7 minutes left, I looked around the bar and I realized something. I was the only one left of the original 12 still watching in the fourth quarter.
Was there a new crowd?
No new crowd. It was legitimately me at an outdoor bar where there were originally 12 people watching the game, and I was the only one left by the midway through the fourth quarter watching it to the bitter end.
And it's preseason. That's why, because it's terrible.
Right. So I regularly see everybody was stuck by. So was I excited? Obviously. I was the only one that stuck by and was watching fourth stringers play. And for Daniel Jones? It's Danny Dimes, baby. We're all in. Let's go.
Danny Dimes.
That's what Giant fans are calling him now. He's already earned that nickname. It's Danny Dimes. He's not even Daniel Jones anymore.
He's earned that nickname by doing what?
Going for 6 for 6, throwing a bullet touchdown in the corner of the end zone to Benny Fowler, who also caught Peyton Manning's last pass. So, Benny Fowler answered a trivia question. Daniel Jones' first touchdown, Peyton Manning's last pass, caught them both.
One Hall of Famer to the next.
Yes, exactly. And
he's the bridge between two of the all-time Mount Rushmore quarterbacks.
And honestly, if one thing is for sure, how silly do people look on draft day for questioning the Giants drafting him 6th overall? How silly do all these idiots look now? Yeah. Here we go.
You being one of them.
Danny Dimes has arrived. I can't wait.
So this would be a significant outcome of the weekend, that Mraz was left alone to his own devices in the backyard at a bar, solemnly watching the fourth quarter of a meaningless preseason game. But that's not even the most interesting thing that happened to Mraz this weekend. I hold in my hand the most interesting thing that has happened. And Mraz brought this in this morning. And if you are watching at watchda.com, you see that I am holding up what appears to be a loaf of bread. But this is not any loaf of bread here, guys. This is the most gargantuan, monstrous, GMO, HGH-induced loaf of bread ever. Because, Pete the Body Bellotti, there's no way a loaf of bread should look like this. What's going on here?
I don't even understand how a store could sell a loaf of bread that big. D.A., I am serious. You could see it in size comparison to your arms. Both your arms put together are not as thick as that bread. This is Barry Bonds on the Giants bread.
This is a thigh. Really, this is Earl Campbell, Saquon Barkley's thigh here. This is supposed to be a loaf of Italian bread, and it is approximately maybe a foot and a half in length. But the width itself is incredible. It is the width of my face. I'm covering my face at,
completely with this loaf of bread.
Bready.
Now, who bought this loaf of bread?
Danielle brought it home to me over the weekend. She said, I don't even want to eat this, but I had to buy it because I could not believe the size of this bread.
I think somebody at your local grocery store was originally going to make a normal loaf of bread and then had leftover dough and just shoved it on the This is probably the last bread that they baked and just said, let's use up all the dough. Because if you cut this in the middle to make pieces of bread for a sandwich, how much width of food would you need to get it on the bread?
A phenomenal amount. This is if you are a low-carb person or watching your gluten, this is not the bread for you. And yet it was the same size as your typical French bread. It blocks you. Look, I can't even see your face right now. I've never seen bread that big.
It's as wide and as thick as a propeller on a prop plane.
Bready. If not bigger.
Look at this. How are you going to eat this?
Well, first of all, it's hard as a rock by the time I brought it in, so I don't think I will eat it. But I don't know. I think you just would get in there with a knife. Maybe you scoop it out. Dip it in a little spinach dip.
Could this be a bread bowl?
Bread bowl, that's a bread aircraft carrier.
Two bread bowls.
This could feed most of the pigeons in Central Park.
We should ask the dessert coordinator at 11:30 what he could do with that bread.
What do you do with a bread that is this wide? You are watching at watchda.com right now. It looks like a humpback whale. When we come back, you're on the DA show. Do the Tennessee Titans have a quarterback controversy? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.